So when I came in today, Sean Danks walks up to me and he says, I'm going to anoint you this morning. And so we stood up here and he anointed me and he said something about only the words Holy Spirit gives me. And I, as he said it, this deposit was made in me. I don't have this scripture up here, but it goes along with this message. If you're struggling, tell someone. If you're struggling, tell someone. We're going to talk about some serious things today. If you have children in the room, just be aware that there's some sensitive material here, some sensitive stuff. I don't know that any of it's inappropriate for them, but you're the parents. I'm not the parent of your children, so. But anyway, this deposit of the scripture was just downloaded right into my spirit almost immediately as he said this. And it's John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Have it abundantly. That's why he came. That's why he came. That we might have life and have it abundantly. And if you were here last week, you heard Bobby, when he began his message, he talked about a loss that we experienced. Of a young lady that sat right back here. Her name was Lori Ridgely. She was here maybe a half a dozen times since last October. Wasn't here every week. But she took her own life. And last Sunday night, Bobby and I officiated her service. And when I got the word that she had passed away and was in our midst, my heart sank. My heart sank. And it was the second time since I've been pastor here. I don't remember how long ago it was. Cindy may remember. But Cindy had a patient that used to come here. And his daughter showed up here a few times. And I'll never forget it. It was a Sunday morning. He was back there and she came in and sat here. I think she was here three times. I remember her being here three times. And later that day, she and her dad went out to lunch at a restaurant in Boardman. And at one point, she got up from her seat and she went to her dad's truck, pulled out a gun, came into the restaurant, into the restroom, and shot herself in the head. And I was like, she was in our building this morning. And Holy Spirit has been speaking to me ever since this second one. And said, it's time we bring it into the light. We bring it into the light. It's a subject you don't talk about in church a whole lot. Mental illness generally and suicide specifically. I told Pastor Shane yesterday, I said, I don't know when it was. Maybe it was Wednesday. So we knew what we were talking about here. So we're going to have this amazing time of worship, and then I'm going to come and just dump this wet blanket on the whole experience. But the reality is, it does not have to be as hard of a message as it seems, because we have a Savior. We have a Savior who gives us life, and we get to pass that along. And we don't take any blame for any of this. People are going to do what they're going to do, and I don't know what all the causes of that are, but I know it's time for us to talk about hard things. If you got a bulletin today, this is going to stay in the bulletin. I'm just going to read it if you didn't get one. And it just says this, struggling with a question mark. If you're struggling with suicidal thoughts, text or call someone you trust or call the office. If you can't reach anyone, call 988 immediately. And I have a slide up on the board I'm going to put up a little bit later just to remind us of that. the scriptures talk, and I've broken kind of this message down into several sections, and the first section is all about bringing things into the light. Bringing things into the light. Our enemy loves to operate in darkness and secrecy. He loves to operate. And there's probably people sitting here thinking, you know, nobody else has ever had this thought of mine. Nobody else has had this thought of mine. And the reality is there's probably a dozen or more that have had the same thought. And I'm not talking just about suicide. I'm talking about whatever it is. Abundant Life, if you've ever been here for any length of time, we've never shied away from talking about hard things. I wrote at the top of my notes, we've talked about pornography. We've talked about homosexuality. We've talked about all manner of addiction. Today we're talking about mental illness. And specifically, the thought, I'm just going to end my life. In Ephesians, we read these words, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Everything exposed to the light becomes visible. Everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why I say, wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead. Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." And so bringing things into the light, whether it's sin, whether it's some thought that besets you, whether it's desperation, whether it's depression, whether it's whatever it is, bring it into the light, tell someone. I'm not going to tell you that we'll have every answer. It's one of those subjects, and maybe it's one of the reasons I've never addressed it myself. I'll tell you this up front. I have no place of personal connection with this. I've never wanted to take my own life. I've never dealt with depression. I've never dealt with any of these things. And so part of me sort of just just trust Jesus type answers for it. And I know that's the answer, but I know that coming alongside of you is also that we're going to come alongside of you to help until we're free, until there's freedom. Because I've never dealt with it, but I also have watched it and from afar. For goodness sake, last year I was appointed to the Columbia County Mental Health Board, and I was like, why am I on this board? And I know that I have a voice on that board that probably isn't heard enough, that Jesus is the answer, the only answer, but we have to be able to expose the lies. That verse that the Holy Spirit downloaded from John, that you might have life and have it abundantly. For goodness sake, it's in the name of our body, Abundant Life Fellowship. It's interesting, just by talking about it, I talked about it a little bit last week in the Open Door class, and at least one person in class said, I've had those thoughts before. After the service last week, somebody came up and said, I tried to kill myself twice in my life. So just talking about it, and this example really rocked me, because I got to thinking, if that had taken place from this particular person, I won't identify them, it's not my story to tell. If that person had done what she said she was going to do, if it had been successful, at least four families wouldn't exist today. And it rocked me when I thought about that, the trajectory of a life that has changed, because an attempt was not successful, and God had a plan. God had a plan. God had a plan. So we're bringing things into the light. James 5, 13 to 16 says, if any among you in trouble, let them pray. If anyone happy, let them sing songs of praise. If anyone among you sick, let's call the elders of the church to pray over them. Anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. And again, the reminder, bring things out into the open. Bring things out into the open. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. We've all had terrible thoughts at times. We've all had all manner of things. But it's time to bring it into the light. And if your particular struggle is ending your life, let's deal with it together. We want to deal with it with you. And we will not have pat answers. But we will tell you Jesus is the only one. We will not shy away from that fact. One of the things I've learned over the years, but I've learned even more being on this board, that medications are a big part of treatment, and I get it, and I'm not anti-medication. You know, I had open heart surgery 4 years ago, and I'm on medication. They told me I'll be on medication the rest of my life. And I'd love to believe that Jesus can just do what the medication, and I know he can do what the medication does, but I'm going to take the medication. I'm doing well on it. I was at the cardiologist this week. You're doing great. You're doing great. But I'm going to take the medication. We are not anti-medication people here. We're not anti-medication people here. Unfortunately, I believe the system thrives on the medication. And anybody that's been on meds for any number of things knows that they can get messed up real easy. Bring things into the light. Matthew 3 and Acts 19 both talk about confessing sins. In Matthew, just people went out to Jesus from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region. Confessing their sins, they were baptized. In Acts 19, many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. So there's something about offering whatever it is you're dealing with, confessing it to Jesus and moving on, and his word spreads because of what he does in response to your bringing something into the light. Into the light. And then John 3, 19 to 21, this is the verdict. Light's come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because of their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light. Our enemy does not want you to bring anything into the light. Keep it a secret. Keep it a secret. No one will understand. That's what he whispers these things. No one will understand. You'll be alone in this. You'll be embarrassed. It'll be shameful, whatever lie he puts out there. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what they have done and has been done in the sight of God. So plainly, let bring things into the light so that it can be dealt with plainly and honestly and openly. So, we have a young lady who's not here today. She was so sorry she couldn't be here today. She had a previous commitment, but Gracie Maltonic is a high school senior. And she was the Mahoning County 4-H queen for the Canfield Fair this year. And just a young lady, she sits over here with her mom, Kathy. And the 4-H group had a young person who took their life this year. And when she had made the determination She was on the going to be on the court. She knew she was on the queen court. Was nominated for the queen court. She ended up becoming the queen. But she had made a determination before she ever even knew she was, had won the crown, that she was going to call attention to suicide among young people. And she sent me, I talked to her last week, and she sent me this email this week saying she knew she couldn't be here, but she just tells a little bit of the story, and I'm just going to read a little bit. She said, this past August, a 16-year-old 4-H member took his own life just weeks before the fair. He showed rabbits with me, and his death really hit all of us very hard. I already knew that if I won the crown of 4-H queen, that I wanted to do more than visit fairs and trade pins with other royalty. And if you know Gracie, this is Gracie. She's like, she could care less about any of that side stuff. Well, I guess that's sometimes the main stuff, but for her it was not. When this happened, I knew that I wanted to do something to prevent it from ever happening again. 7% of suicides in 2024 in Mahoning County were under the age of 18. It hurts that I knew one of those names. So she, she's now part of the Suicide Coalition with the Mahoning County Board of Health, Mental Health. And they're planning a golf outing, and I'll just tell you, I know it's the Sunday of the car show in Salem, so some of you won't be able to participate. But if you want to be part of this golf outing, I have flyers here. They're looking for 4-member teams. I know we have some golfers in the church. If you want to be part of it, be part of it. We're going to, as Abundant Life is going to be a sponsor of it in some way, just to support our Gracie. And she just says this. She says, I'm a member of this. We meet every couple of months. We talk about things in regard to suicide prevention. If you've seen TV ads of different people speaking about suicide, she's in those TV ads, this young teenage girl just speaking life to people. So anyway, if you want to be part of that, it's just another layer of this that we want to be a voice. Abundant Life does not exist for us to just, it never has, for us to just love and care for one another. I think we do that very, very well. And Pastor Don and Pauline modeled that for us. But our work is on the outside. Our work is for, again, anybody that comes on the inside, that we come alongside them if they have a trouble or a trial. Having this young man sitting right here, just meeting him 3 weeks ago, meeting one of our own in jail, and you're here, and you're worshiping Jesus with us, and we get to come alongside people who have gone through stuff. No matter what it is, and it is absolutely that, is a privilege. It's what we're called to. It's what we're called to. And that's what this next section of scriptures is all about. Just the value of fellowship. Again, we're called Abundant Life Fellowship for a reason. This is not just some nice-sounding name. It represents what we get to do and be. We get to represent abundant life that is in Jesus and in Jesus alone. And we get to speak that life to ones who don't want to live anymore. So in Hebrews 10:19-25, it says, very familiar, most of these verses we're looking at are very familiar to us. Brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance of faith. Full assurance of that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. We get to give hope to the hopeless. We get to give hope, and we get to take them by the hand and say, we're gonna see you through. We're gonna fight for you. We're going to do battle with you. We're going to cry with you. And it's real. This is not manufactured. This is not anything we have to put on. It's who we are. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we have. For he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another daily as the day approaches. Encouraging one another daily. Bringing things into the light and then encouraging when we become aware of situations. It's why, the whole New Testament, as we read these scriptures, the value of staying attached to the vine, not only the vine who is Jesus, but the vine of his people. It's so important. And for us to encourage that, it's why you hear us say all the time, hey, come to this class, come to men's prayer meeting, come to this, not because we have any mandate on everybody has to show up for everything. It's not some sort of legalistic thing. We just have learned the value of being in fellowship with one another to the point where we learn to care about you in deep, deep ways. We have the Man of Valor class on Wednesday nights. Man of Valor every Wednesday, 7:00. We hold each other. We hold each other up. We have the scripture, iron sharpening iron. We're sharpening one another. We learned during COVID when we didn't meet for a while that somehow, even though each of us was still pursuing Jesus and studying the Word and praying separately, when we weren't together, that somehow we became a little dull. And I don't mean boring. We weren't as sharp because we sharpened one another. And so we had this thing last night called the Wild Game Dinner. Wild Game Dinner. And it was 51 guys there. And not everybody was from here. Not everybody's from here. People bring friends. And we just get to be, for a couple of hours in the evening, get to be a community together, encouraging one another. I was so happy to see the Ensel brothers all there. You know, a new family that's back there. You know, that raise your hands. Just raise your hands, all three boys. Raise your hands, boys. Yeah. I was so happy to see the Ensel brothers coming into our midst. And, you know, ones that we were just getting to know. That they were part of us for a few hours. We got to know more about them. Our brother Aaron, right over here, you know, he and his wife and daughter, you know, new to us. Our brother Aaron, right here, you know, just getting to hang out together, getting to find out. Fellowship is so important. There's things that happen sometimes in a smaller group that can't happen on a Sunday morning. Finding out more about your story, finding out more about your struggles, finding out more about how you came to know Jesus. And I was so excited when I saw Aaron and his wife. I was walking up to class and I was walking through the lobby and I saw Aaron and Kim and their daughter Olivia walking in the door for small groups this morning. And he had said last night, he said, one of our goals is we got to get to know people. We got to plug in. We got to build relationships. And there's such a point in this message. He didn't know it. He didn't know it was a point in this message. The value of our fellowship with one another. Jesus put a premium on it. Paul, when he's teaching, put a premium on the value of meeting together. He said, don't give up meeting together. And he even points out, as some are in the habit of doing. There's a little warning there. Yeah, go, tell, be part of it. So that was our word last year. 1 John 1, this is the message we heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there's no darkness. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie, do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with one another because we're all walking in the same light who is Jesus. And there's something about that that is supernatural that joins us together that is different than any other sort of organization. Maybe you're part of a social club somewhere. The Rotary. Maybe you're part of the Rotary. Or the Women's Aglow has a foundational basis based in faith, but maybe it's some other group. But when it's tied to Jesus, there's a knitting together. There's a knitting together that has a strengthening to it that is unlike any other. Unlike any other. If we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus. His Son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. Truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There's things that happen when we're together that will not happen when we're apart. It's why, I mean, it's amazing to me because I keep hearing, I mean, I've heard really all this year and toward the end of last year, groups that are gathering. You know, we started Scott and Sharon, as if they needed to add anything else to their schedules. Last year started a Sunday morning marriage class. And then they said, oh, well, Sunday morning isn't enough. Let's meet at a home during the week. You know, there's just things that meeting together, and it fulfills this verse, that verse that says, and all the more. Our enemy, the devil, wants nothing more than to isolate you, to keep you out of fellowship. Galatians 6 puts it as simple as this. There's no ambiguity in this verse. Carry each other's burdens. In this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And the law of Christ is simply his instruction, love one another. Love one another. But carry each other's burdens. And the real way to do that is to say, well, I'm not taking your burden on my shoulders. I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to care for you, but I'm going to turn it over to Jesus. He's the one that can carry the burden. People ask me sometimes, how do you deal with everybody's problems? I said, I don't. I would die. So when it's saying carry, so it doesn't mean physically take that burden on your shoulder. We're not called to do that. We'll be a conduit to the Savior. Let's go to Jesus together with this. Let's go to Jesus together with this. There's nothing we can't ask him. And I'll stand with you. I'll stand with you through it all. But I can't fix your problem. But Jesus can. What? I know who can. And that's not a simple. That's not a simple solution. That's not just giving lip service to it. We're gonna endure with you. We're gonna fight for you. Romans 15:1-4. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. We get to give that. Because Jesus gave it to us first. Start with your own story. He said, my story didn't have anything to do with some of these serious issues, but nonetheless, I was lost and going to hell. I had no confidence as a young man. Jesus brought me confidence. So a lot of this deals with identity, which is a big subject in our culture these days. But when we begin to know that our identity is in Jesus and Jesus alone, plus nothing. It doesn't matter what degree you have. Doesn't matter what amazing singing talent you have. Thank God, someone said. I was actually speaking of people who have, well, you have, I think you can sing. That's actually speaking of people who actually have singing talent. But even if it's the greatest, doesn't matter how good looking you are, how many awards you've won, how many honors you've received. Jesus. Philippians, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So when we get these phone calls that says, I need help, and we get them all the time. I don't know how many times we've pointed people to various ministries in the church to say, hey, plug into the men of valor, plug into the ministry team. They'll come to your house and pray over your house if you've got some issues. Plug into the belonging. We have a group called the Belonging. And what's the lie that the enemy repeats over and over and over again to people? I don't belong. I don't belong. I don't fit. I don't fit. I used to tell my daughter growing up, don't worry about fitting in. Be who you are. Be who you are in Jesus. In Jesus. And I'm of the mind that I don't care who you are, how you're built, how you're made, what your gifts are, what your talents are, what everybody can find a place to fit in the kingdom of God. But I'll say this. Sin has no part of that. Because coming to Jesus means repentance. It means repentance. It means walking away from the struggles, the things that beset us. We all fall short in that. I'm not suggesting any of us does any of this perfectly. That would be a lie. But the culture will tell us, just be who you are, even if that's sinful. The scriptures say otherwise. So I'm going to believe them. We're going to believe them, and we do believe them. But part of this is getting rid of whatever selfish things we have in ourselves. We were talking yesterday at prayer meeting. I just had this kind of revelation that about ministry. You know, ministry isn't this event or that event. We have lots of events. We have lots of things we do around here to minister to people. But ministry is just simply this. We get to live out Jesus. Wherever we go, whatever we're doing, wherever we are, whoever's around us, we get to love and care for them. Is there risk involved? Yeah. Yeah. They may disappoint us. They may take what we give and throw it back in our face. That's all right. They spit on Jesus. Part of this equation of fellowship with one another is helping one another with our thought life. Now, the reality is, you don't want me in your head. And I don't want to be there either. But encouraging the study of the Word that gives us the tools to keep our thought life under control. 2 Corinthians 10, familiar verse, by the humility and gentleness of Christ I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold toward you when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. So he's already prefacing his words saying, I'd rather you deal with this before I get there, because if I get there, I'm going to have to be bold, and I'd rather not have to be bold. So he's saying, like, do this before I get there so that this is taken care of, so that I don't have to call it out, you know. For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish strongholds and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I remember learning this verse as a pretty new Christian. Realized, oh my goodness. The scriptures actually have an answer to the thoughts that I think that aren't always pure. And I remember learning this and thinking, okay, Lord, that thought wasn't so good. Help me to learn how to take that captive to make it obedient to you. And I memorized it. And pretty soon, some of that battle just got won. But it takes our putting the word into practice, applying it, doing it. The word is not meant to just be memorized. It's meant to be done. To do it. Do it. Active. Act on it. 1 Corinthians 2:10 and 11. Spirit searches all things. We have Holy Spirit. When Jesus left the earth, he said, I'm sending Holy Spirit to help you. Help you. We don't have to be afraid of Holy Spirit. Let's embrace Holy Spirit. We are embracing Holy Spirit. We've been embracing Holy Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Who knows a person's thoughts except their spirit within them? Holy Spirit knows what's going on. Tap into him. In Hebrews 4, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. The word, staying grounded in the word. You hear us say it all the time. We will never, never veer from the scriptures as our guide. But it judges the thoughts and attitudes. It judges the thoughts. That as we're reading the word, sometimes when we're reading the word, we have an ouch. Because we perhaps know there's something we have to deal with that we're not dealing with. We have a word of correction, perhaps. Firming up our identity. 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? This is what we get to encourage to one who is struggling. The Holy Spirit is available for you to seal you in. You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Honor God with your bodies. Jeremiah, Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It's not for them to direct their steps. Boy, when we come to Jesus, we surrender to him. We have someone else who will direct our steps. We don't have to figure it all out anymore. And he's so good at leading us, learning how to do that, and travailing with someone who's just on the beginning of this path. I know that our friend Lori was beginning a journey. I saw her getting ministered to here at least once. And I desperately wish she were still here for us to plug her in. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body. Each member belongs to the other. We belong to one another. It's back to this community, idea of community. We belong to one another. And when we grasp the value of that, we don't ever want to surrender it. And I see that dynamic increasing more and more and more and more. Yesterday at men's prayer, there came a moment when the Holy Spirit, I was praying for a specific man, and the Lord highlighted his wife to me. And then he said, okay, just pray for the wives. So we went around the room and prayed for each man and his wife, each wife. And then at one point, we had actually had two guys at prayer meeting that yesterday that had never been there before. And at one point, I don't know, we were just praying for different ones, and the Holy Spirit, I actually have a running list in my phone of every person, every man that's ever been at prayer meeting. And I began praying over that list. And at one point, a couple of people thought that I was like pulling this out of my memory. Like Holy Spirit was just directing, like, but man, that's pretty amazing. You thought of all those names. No, they're all written right there in my phone. But in the course of men's prayer meeting on Saturday morning that had started last June or July, there have been 70 guys there. And if you've been there once, you're part of a community. You're part of community. You matter. You're part of it. And we care about you. We belong to one another, the scripture says. We belong to one another. And that's not some sort of a weird slavery thing, you know? It's actually a freeing thing. We love one another to go to battle for you, to go to battle with you. Psalm 37, I know it's getting late here, but I'm going to move along here. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. We get to encourage this. Maybe you're unsteady right now, but that will pass. Keep coming. But what did Pastor Don say? Keep showing up. Keep showing up. Keep showing up. Your feet will get firmly planted. Even if you stumble, we'll help you back up. The Lord will uphold you. We work in cooperation with this truth. We work in cooperation with our Savior. We work in cooperation with Holy Spirit. And you got to connect with people you trust. So I have this, and I have this part of this all on a printout if anybody wants this. So here's what, I'm just going to go through this and read what it says. If you're struggling, it's okay to share your feelings. Use these messages as a starting point to send a trusted contact. And I have like four or five different examples here. First one, reach out. When you get, reach out, maybe this is what you'll write. When you get a chance, can you contact me? I feel really alone and suicidal and could use some support. Contact a loved one. I don't want to die, but I don't know how to live. Talking with you may help me to feel safe. Are you free to talk? This is just very real. This is very real and very raw. Express your feelings. This is really hard for me to say, but I'm having painful thoughts and it might help to talk. Are you free? I'm struggling right. Check in. I'm struggling right now and just need to talk to someone. Can we chat? If you're unable to reach anybody, call 988. I have a sheet with all this on here. If somebody wants one, take one. If you want to give someone to someone, take, what's that? Yep. Or call Lindsay. Call Lindsay. Seriously. And she means that with every ounce of her being. Every ounce of your being. And there's probably 100 other people in the room who would say the same thing. So, something I'm going to talk about at Jubilees next Saturday. There's a new I don't want to call it ministry because they don't necessarily function from a Christian base. But I'm part of it now. It's just called the Golden Friends Program. It's a new thing that's starting in Columbiana County, and it's specifically targeted for senior citizens. Do you know that suicide among senior citizens is at ridiculous high amounts, that isolation, frailties of age, loneliness, lots of layers to that affect seniors in a way that the Columbiana County is finally taking some steps to highlight. And so this new program has started. It's called Golden Friends, and when I first heard about it, I went up to the person that's leading it and said, we have a pretty dynamic group in our church called, they call themselves the Jubilees. I'm now in the Jubilees. I fought it for a long time, but I'm now part of that demographic. But anyway, this is starting up, and we can be part of it in two ways. If there are people in our midst that need to be on the receiving end of the Golden Friends program, then there's a way to sign up for that. And what this basically does is it pairs you up with a volunteer who comes to your home or wherever. It doesn't have to be your home if you're private about that, or you can meet somewhere and just have fellowship. You work out the details of what that, hey, I like to play games, or I like to go for a walk, or I like to shop, or I like to walk in the park, or I like to just sit and have coffee. Whatever that looks like, there's no real parameters that you and the volunteer get to work that out together. So if you want to be on the receiving end of that, then there's ways to sign up. If you want to be on the volunteering end of that, then you have to go through a little bit of a training thing. It's not a complicated thing, but I immediately, when I heard about it, it's like, oh my goodness, we have a very active seniors group in our body, I'm just presenting it. Hey, whichever end of that you want to be part of, there's opportunities for that to happen. So I'm going to explain that a little bit more, next week, next Saturday. I will put a little plug in. Lori Kibbe did an amazing job taking over for Linda. Linda and Carl did the Jubilees forever. Before then, Janet and Ernie did it. We've had different levels of different ones took it over, and Lori did it for an amazing job with that. And she had to lay it down, and I get it. We don't ever begrudge anybody if they have to lay something down. But Marilyn Travis, raise your hand, Marilyn. Marilyn has stepped up, and I knew immediately when Lori told me. I said, "This is not going away. This is not going away. I don't know what it all is going to look like. I don't know what it's all going to look like, but this is the group that Pastor Shane has said over and over again has taught us so many ways how to do church, has taught us how to love one another during the week. I shared this at Betty Welker's funeral on Monday. Betty Welker was part of the heart of Jubilee, and she would. If I got a phone call from Betty, it was almost never about her, which is, is interesting because it could have been. I mean, sometimes Betty was about her, but when she called me, it was never about her. It was about praying for someone else. It was about praying for someone else. And so this must carry on. It must carry on, and it is. It's going to carry on. So we're going to talk a lot about Saturday. But if you're 50 or older and want to be part of that, and if you've never gone because you've denied your age, like I did, get over it. And I could just so easily just walk around the room and look right into faces. I want to so badly, but I won't. And here's one of the things. Here's one of the things about it. And this is really one of the things Lori helped me to understand. We've had an amazing Jubilee group over the years, but they've gotten older, and some of them can't do the things they used to do. And when she explained that to me, because ultimately she and her husband were doing a lot of it initially. And I'm not calling attention to that. And she wasn't complaining. She was just stating facts. And to me, that woke me up to say, oh my goodness, the Jubilees when they started were my age. But I was so much younger, I just thought that was old. And now I'm there. And I've been there for a little bit. So anyway, sign up. We're catering a dinner for you, and we're going to just talk about ideas we have for it. But again, the whole idea is if people are struggling with something, they do not have to struggle alone. We're in a body that loves ridiculously. And yes, there's probably times we've fallen short in that, and we can't do anything about our failures except learn from them and do better. and do better. So if you're one that for somehow we missed or offended or did something or didn't do something that should have been done, all we can say is we're sorry, we're going to do better. We're going to do better. So as I was studying this Psalm 139 for this lesson, and we're going to close with this, this is going to be our prayer. This is going to be our prayer. And I'm going to have everybody can stand. If you're able to stand, stand. We will still have prayer afterward, but this is part of our closing prayer. The words of this psalm are part of our closing prayer, and I want each of us to read these words and understand, because this psalm is an amazing psalm about just the personal interaction we have with our Savior. And I want you to utter these words as we pray Psalm 139 together. And if you want to step out of your seat and come forward as we pray it, do it. If you're in need, other people who will pray with you afterward, but we're going to pray this together. Holy Spirit showed me this. You can pray it out loud or pray it to yourself, doesn't matter. I'm going to speak it out loud. You can join me if you want. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word that is living and active. These verses are living and active. Lord, I thank you for the voice of truth. The voice of truth that is our word for this year. That the voice of truth will resound clearly and coherently and concisely among your people today. I pray as we go out of here, we will go out of here with your word on our lips, with your word of hope and encouragement on our lips, that you will give us eyes to see the hurting like we've never seen before. You will give us ears to listen to their cries like never before. You will knit us together like never before to serve a demographic in our culture that is crying out for help. We'll be sure to give you praise for everything you do with these words today.